This is an Audio Wool original.
My dream home is up for sale with the potential of Nessie as a roomie.
Kennedys remain dead, and QAnon cult continues residing in Dallas.
Finally, an academic conference that recognizes my world. Rice welcomed researchers and academics focused on the world of the paranormal earlier this month.
Too long. That needs to be... needs to, that's too...
Sorry, tough shit.
Well, I can't make it fit in the thing.
You can.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
Bundy-adoring teen unsurprisingly does very unadorable thing.
Looking for an exciting off-the-beaten-path spring break adventure? Visit the Bog of Eternal Stench. I'm Kelly along with Byron. It's March 27th and it's been a weird week. I mean, like a full month off, they're going to be like, what the fuck? I'm listening to the wrong episode.
Well, I guess you're right. It is true, though. We are recording this very early.
We're recording this on February 16th, but I'm not lying because as you're listening to this...
It is sometime
it's
in March.
It's March 27th.
It is late
or
March.
Later.
And Byron's hanging out in... I guess I just returned from South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. And Kelly is in our nation's capital protesting a mask mandate.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
She's burning face diapers.
Taking the National Treasure Tour, trying to find all the Illuminati symbols. I'm having a good time.
I don't know which I would rather you be doing, if I'm being honest.
I mean, well, you know.
This is going to be an interesting one. I set out to write some stories today and accidentally only wrote one. And then found another that I want to talk about. So,
oh, great.
I'm sorry.
Super fun.
Well,
super fun.
You might enjoy a little talk about a guy named Negative 48. But before we get there, Kelly, you had a bit of a heyday.
I did have a heyday. It's been a while since I got to do this. And there's some brief stories, but they're really exciting. So this first one, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen with the next election. And I'm getting a little nervous. And always have my eye on international properties. Saw this thing pop
really?
Up. Yeah.
Are you preparing to leave the country?
I mean, I doubt that I ever will, but I certainly have contemplated it.
Okay, well.
I don't know. I feel like New Zealand I'd probably go to.
I mean, anyone would.
Some family friends of ours, there's a place where there are actually islands for sale. There are always some pretty cheap ones, like off the coast of Nova Scotia, though apparently the winters are, you know, basically unlivable. But yeah. I mean, but this one's in Scotland.
Oh, okay. One of your favorite
locations.
And it's
actually, yeah, well, it's on the shores of Loch Ness. Literally two little cottages, five bedrooms, because it's got between two different houses. So you could like live in one and rent the other one out for Airbnb.
Offset the cost of that, yeah.
Yeah, so from the outside, it looks amazing.
Is like, this a news story or is this truly you just found some house?
No, it's a news story. It's been promoted as a news story because it's up for sale and everybody's very excited about it. And it's actually really cheap. It's only £385,000.
Wow. Prime real estate, huh?
Uh-huh. But
uh-oh.
Here's the thing.
There's always
you start poking around inside the decor. Not good.
I'm pulling it up now. Pardon me.
You can take an actual tour of it. And I'm telling you, like, this outside is basically unbeatable, but I'd have to gut it. And I'm really bad at home renovation. So I think it's actually probably out for me, unfortunately.
Just because it's a rustic cottage. What did you expect?
No. Rustic, I could do with rustic, but when you get to those inside photos, it's no longer rustic. It's gross. Circa 1993 Michigan is what I would say.
I could deal with it for the view.
Look at that.
But I can't,
look at that.
I'm
click on the listing. Click on the listing.
Okay.
And then you're going to see what I'm talking about. It's bad.
The property listing.
Look at the
here.
Bathroom.
I'm trying to find it, but we aren't in the same location because I up and went and my whole family got COVID.
They didn't die though, did they?
Some did, but
the unimportant ones?
Yeah, of course.
We probably shouldn't say that. Like, what if somebody gets really sick with it from your family?
Oh, I think everyone's doing fine. I went and stood outside and talked to my folks. That I like the mud room. It looks nice. Stairs are fine. Okay. So wow.
It's bad. It's bad.
I think if you pull out all that old people furniture, it might look okay. The fireplace is meh.
Fireplace, but the bathroom. Did you see the bathroom?
Well, I'm in the office right now. I love that green room, the sunroom.
Yeah,
it's like beautiful. That's really nice. Chandelier there, some built-in.
Yep.
What's wrong with that bathroom?
Are you kidding
me? 1983, like you said.
It's horrible. horrible.
I just don't like wood like that.
But keep going. Look at the kitchen. Ooh,
I think
such a bad kitchen.
I think you're spoiled. I think, yeah,
I am very spoiled. But now keep going, keep going. And then it gets
just because a washing machine is in the kitchen doesn't mean it's a bad place.
Side cottage, I think, looks way more fun. Like there's an A-frame room that is pretty short, but like I could get down with that. That's a pretty cool like fort room. I think that's fun.
Ceilings are low,
real low.
But that upstairs, the attic is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well,
and then look at, but keep going. Look at the picture from the lake.
Okay.
The lock, if you will. Picture 20 of 22.
I wonder if that view is obscured by trees or not.
Well, then 21 shows the view.
Oh, yeah. You got a little broken down castle.
Pretty good. I mean, that looks like that castle right there. Exactly. Yeah. You can like walk around that iconic castle all the time.
A link to this listing will be in the show notes of this episode.
I mean, if we get enough patrons, we could probably just buy it.
I don't know if that's what we're spending our money on, but. Honestly, who knows? It might even be sold by the time this airs.
Probably. I feel like that type of thing is going to go fast.
Yeah. Well, that's very exciting for you, Kelly.
Yeah. Pretty exciting.
I don't want to ruin people's day so early in this episode. So I think you may want to continue on in your journey.
Oh, you want me to keep rolling?
Yeah, why not?
A very special thing happened earlier this month at Rice University, which is actually a really well-respected university, despite the fact that it's in Texas. Apologize.
Wait, where in Texas?
Houston.
I have an ex that lives in Houston.
All your exes live in Texas?
Well, a handful, I suppose.
That was a good joke.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of like the really bad old music jokes going this week.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of myself.
They're mostly bad.
Well,
what's going on at Rice?
So this is another one of those things that's like a time travel situation, because as of February 16th, the day that we're recording this, it's still in the future.
Okay.
But as of the day that this airs, it's going to be in the past. On March 3rd through 6th, they had an international conference on scholarship of the paranormal. Literally, it was called Opening the Archives of the Impossible.
It sounds like a rave.
Well, but it's my kind of rave, where probably no drugs and a lot of really fun conversations with people who research and write about the paranormal. It's difficult to tell what the tone is going to be, but it's free to the public and you can actually watch the webinars online. I don't know if it's going to be recorded afterwards. Hopefully it is for those of you who are listening to this so that you can pull it up, but we'll have the links to everything.
Yeah, there's registration at impossiblearchives.rice.edu.
So some of these people are people you guys aren't going to have heard of before, you know, who are perhaps more mainstream recognizable, but we also have Jacques Vallée is going to be there. We have Whitley Strieber.
Mm-hmm.
You better believe that I will be tuning into him. I also want to read the bio that they give for Whitley Strieber for this like normal event.
Of course.
Whitley Strieber is the author of Communion, the best-selling book about close encounters in history, and many follow-up books. His latest works are The Afterlife Revolution, about the mysterious possibility of extra-physical consciousness, A New World, covering his recent experiences with the phenomena he calls the visitors, and the latest discoveries about the ambiguous experience of contact, and Jesus, A New Vision, a reconstruction of the life and teachings of Jesus. Woo! Website is unknowncountry.com, which hosts his podcast, Dreamland. The site has been in operation since 2000, and the podcast has been broadcast weekly since 1998.
Podcast didn't happen until, I don't know, Kevin Smith did them in 2000 and I don't know.
Right. But the point is, Dreamland was a weekly
broadcast
gig.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whitley lives in California. And then Leslie Keen, who has come up a lot in mainstream acceptable UFO coverage that's been going on in the last, you know, handful of years. So she was one of the people that was really pivotal in the New York Times story about the Pentagon UFO program, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, these are like some super heavy hitters, and then also some well-respected folks in the world of academia. I know that like Weird Week is typically pretty jokey, but this is legitimately serious. And I think another really cool indication that Kelly's world is going normie.
Well, I wonder, I mean, it's interesting we're bringing up this event. It's going to be over, but I wonder if there's going to be a replay of it or if there's some good.
Well, you can register for it and do it online. So they're going to have to, since it's on Zoom, they're going to have it recorded, right? Like I'm registered to attend, quote unquote.
Maybe we'll have to do a follow-up of your thoughts if something significant is revealed.
I would love to.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Well, speaking of follow-ups though, Kelly. I got a doozy for you this week.
I mean, this is one of my favorite stories, except I really have been thinking a lot about this. Jamila Jamil posted something today on Instagram about how we shouldn't make fun of the Kanye and Pete Davidson thing, because it's actually really sad because Kanye is definitely mentally ill.
Well,
he's probably going to not be able to see his kids as a result of this madness. Really made me go, oh, fuck, I shouldn't laugh at the people that are like amusingly broken, because it actually is sad.
I'm not laughing at it at all. It's really awful, and it definitely happened a month and a half ago.
It is ramping up. It is very bad, and it is very melodramatic, and it's getting worse and worse every day. I can't even imagine how bad it's going to be.
I'm just talking about what happened.
By March 27th, he could be dead. He could be in jail. I don't know, but it is really sad.
I'll catch up with that later, but for now we're catching up on something that
I know. My point is, this guy in Dallas, I want to laugh at him and poke fun at him and be like, what a fucking idiot, but it's also really sad because he's probably kind of like Kanye.
No, this is a bad guy. He was abusive to his wife. I don't even go into that stuff at all. He's terrible, spent all their money. He is mentally ill, but that is no excuse, because you're mentally
no, it's not about an excuse. It's just sad.
I'm not sad about it. This guy sucks. Back in November, we covered a story of hundreds of QAnon believers flocking to the city of Dallas in preparation for the return of JFK and JFK Jr., who would then take their rightful place in the highest ranks of government, triggering the storm, military tribunals, you know, stuff like that. And when this resurrection of sorts didn't happen as scheduled, certainly you'd think things would wrap up quickly, especially with events happening so close to the holidays. You know, folks would want to head home to be with their families, exchange gifts, eat cookies, do holiday stuff.
Yeah.
But? What if this disappointment only further pushed them into the arms of a dangerous WuAnon leader that we discussed?
Oh, WuAnon.
Yeah, I like WuAnon. It's pretty good. It's a term that was coined by, I believe, Laura J. Nelson at the LA Times. I love it.
That is a good one.
This WuAnon leader that we discussed in the later half of my report back in November, I believe. Yeah. Unfortunately, for some, the embrace of our least favorite anti-Semitic ex-contractor, I believe, Michael Protzman, aka Negative 48,
it squeezed
a bit tighter, resulting in relationship-destroying fractures, increasingly more deranged beliefs and behaviors, things very much worthy of an update.
Yeah.
One now ex-member named Maureen McNamara, great name, spoke with Vice, giving us a look under the hood of this chaotic movement in its early days. Following the 16 hours of waiting on November 1st, the big day, she recalled, quote, "There were children sleeping on the ground. There were elderly people. There were people in walkers, people with canes, people that were in pain, in a lot of pain." The next morning, she rejoined the group at Dealey, where she noted Protzman's increasingly concerning Christ-like behavior. Quote, "He's acting like Jesus Christ with his disciples. Everywhere he went, there was this little group around him kissing this ring." And I don't know if it was, I mean, the ring sounds interesting. What else were they doing? He had a parrot on his shoulder.
What, can you explain to me the parrot thing? Because this is one of those that
I don't know. Okay. Unsure.
Okay, fair.
But that night, his followers continued to bleed financially. I believe we officially left off at the Rolling Stones concert that took place on Tuesday, November 2nd, the last time we talked.
That's right. Yes.
The one where Michael claimed that Keith Richards was, in fact, JFK Jr. in disguise. Mick Jagger was Michael Jackson. Prince was there, too. Handful of thought-dead professional musicians were taking places in the band and backing band of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
The people, though, that went, they're folks who had already stretched themselves financially.
Which is what's so sad about it honestly.
It is. Well, they were strongly urged to attend because he was promising that JFK Jr. would be there. Of course he was. You know, he was Mick Jagger. We've already talked about that.
Yeah, well.
The can was kicked and the goalposts moved to November 17th and then November 22nd, which was the anniversary of JFK's assassination.
Mm-hmm.
But as weeks wore on and Negative 48's telegram following swole, faith was too much for some people like Maureen. She left shortly after the Rolling Stones incident and subsequently started her own anti-Negative 48 telegram.
Rolling Stones was the turning point for her.
It was too much. Yeah. I mean,
how was that too much?
The disappointment hit her harder than most because for 2 weeks before the Dealey thing, she was online coordinating this gathering. She was like a higher up. And when he continued to tell her, oh, JFK is going to be here, and it didn't happen. And JFK is going to be here at this time, and it didn't happen. And
still not.
Princess Diana is going to appear in that window. And he just points at a fucking building, and they wait and wait and wait, and nothing happens.
So explain to me why you think so few people have given up. Like, why are there so many that are still holding on?
I wrap up today's report with my thoughts on that, but I will say briefly that something fallacy, where if you accept that something you believe isn't true, it becomes increasingly hard over time to embrace that.
Oh, like you're doubling down and doubling down, and the road back to this was wrong just becomes
less accessible.
It seems
too far, yeah. Yeah. So I think that that's a lot of it, and then I will touch on that at the end as well. But okay. This anti-negative 48 telegram, I wish I would have found it, but I have it's not a New Year's resolution, but I've stopped going there so much because it's truly the home of all the pure hell that I consume. It's a very dangerous and toxic place. But Negative 48, he had this once thriving channel. Last I checked, it had over 100,000 members, part of this community. And then when I went there right before recording, it's now listed as private. And I'm unable to see. Yeah, I can't see the updated count of followers. But I don't really know much about how Telegram works or how they handle censorship. I am, though, concerned that maybe they deleted the account or something. I can't imagine for what, because they've been openly anti-Semitic. Him, people like Ghost Ezra, even Milo Yiannopoulos. Like, they say really heinous, fucked up stuff, and they still exist. So
they do.
I don't know. Either way, since Maureen's exit, Michael and his flock have been bouncing between hotel room blocks, and they call these spaces the Ark.
Okay.
Yeah. Grifted some funds by asking for donations to attend the inauguration when the JFK's return. Some of the more concerning information came from the family of a cultist. The Dallas Observer reported that a Delaware woman who had been following QAnon since 2018 had abandoned her family to follow Michael. Unfortunately, this is not a unique story. I think QAnon Anonymous did an interview with the daughter of one of these people. Very interesting, but also just so devastating. But this woman, she was one of the several dozen remaining believers in the month after the initial failed prophecy. Multiple family members reported that the group had started drinking a chemical cocktail containing chlorine dioxide and an industrial disinfectant, among other substances, basically bleach, sometimes known as MMS or Miracle Mineral Solution, or even
real good stuff.
Chlorine Dioxide Protocol, which is a new one for me. I didn't know that.
I don't even know what to do with that one.
Yeah, this isn't good for you. Ingestion can lead to respiratory failure, potentially fatal abnormal heart rhythms, life-threateningly low blood pressure, acute liver failure, and the rapid destruction of red blood cells, as well as protecting you from COVID-19 almost entirely, especially if you're taking colloidal silver. Last stuff I'm joking about. Don't do
God.
This.
God. I feel like, can't we, like, I don't know that you should say that.
I'm joking.
Yeah, well, that's how things start.
Well, listen, just because my Jelly Belly sparkling water does have bleach in it. Yeah, of course. I sip a little chlorine dioxide.
No, you need booch.
Oh,
drink booch, not bleach.
See, that's a bumper sticker I can get behind.
Oh, it's so good.
Quote, this is from the family. She was proud to tell us that she was the one mixing it up and giving it to everybody.
Oh, my God.
Apparently out of a punch bowl, a communal punch bowl. When is it acceptable to drink something served from a punch bowl? I think just...
Only at a funeral...
A funeral?
Yeah, that's run by little old ladies.
Okay, that one works. I was going to say high school dances and birthday parties, but...
Well, when it's accompanied with ambrosia salad at a funeral.
Jesus, all right. The family just wants her to come home. And as of today, I can't find any updates saying that she has. Sean, her son, commented, quote, she's always been into, you know, natural remedies, getting aluminum out of deodorant, things like that. But that led to anti-vaxxing, and anti-vaxxing led to QAnon. And that's why I think you should be extremely concerned if your loved one suddenly comes home with Tom's of Maine products. It's a red flag.
I mean, really? That's the kind of toothpaste I use for creature pump.
Oh no, Kelly. Another rumor that was circulating on Twitter a bit ago that I, for some reason, can't find any confirmation of is that Michael had been handing out some sort of mystery gummy or mystery candy. I don't know why I can't find that. I don't know if I made that up in my sleep, but at minimum, I think like edible THC, maybe zinc, but it's really scary because no one knows what he's giving out and why it's being given out in like a ritual manner.
Yeah, well, everything about this, it's just weird because you listen to a story like that and it's like, oh, that's just Jim Jones, you know, giving well, Kool-Aid.
People have compared him to Jim Jones. In fact, I think after one specific article pointed that out, they posted a meme of him. I wasn't on an image of Jim Jones, but it did involve Kool-Aid.
Oh.
Not funnily trolling, you know, because it's pretty unsettling. Either way, if crazy were a currency, Michael would be a rich man, Kelly. He's so unhinged that even QAnon conspiracy influencer and organizer of the Forgotten Country Patriot events, some of my, you know, I would rather go to those over that When We Were Young festival for sure. But QAnon John, his name is John Sable. He said on his Telegram, quote, "That Dallas meetup organized by Negative 48 just made our entire movement look unbelievably dumb and naive."
Uh-oh.
He is making
wow
ridiculous and grandiose claims that would never come to pass. Do you see why this kind of thing is super dangerous to the movement? I like that. Too much for QAnon John. This next section, though, it wouldn't be possible if it weren't for the great work of 2022_karma on Twitter. They've been painstakingly following the group, listening to hours of rambling live streams, which I've tried. I can't listen to this guy. He's just...
Hold on, whoa, because you listen to everything. Like, you listen to things that I feel like you should never, ever listen to.
Hours long, dry, and... The way that he makes up stuff and his followers blindly believe it, like he'll just talk about every dead person of prominence that has ever existed in pop culture, he will say is alive and he'll like add some stupid detail. It's nonsense. It seems like the ramblings of a 8-year-old with a medium imagination. It's bad.
Medium. Yeah. Not even...
Not even good.
But it holds such power, though, and that's what's scary.
Over desperate people, yeah. Michael has continued to claim that dead celebrities will come out of their
I'll tell you, when dead he's, when he says Jim Morrison's coming...
I'm sure he has. But really? He's saying that they'll come out and celebrate the return of our true president, of course, JFK or JFK Jr. I don't know which we're doing.
Yeah.
On December 22nd, he and his flock attended a screening of the feature film The Matrix Resurrections, which is pretty cool. I've still not seen it.
No, I haven't, but it's on my list. I really want to.
Yeah. Christmas passed, leaving chairs empty around the holidays, with some families struggling financially after being bled dry by rogue partners as the group continued to solicit donations via Venmo. Friend of the show and talented musician Prime Minister had his bangers forcefully removed from YouTube. Remember that guy?
I heard the voice of God speaks to numbers. That's 351. The truth will blow your mind. I promise. That's 347. Let's take this power back. Now that's 300. Idiot. Nothing can stop. What is coming? That's 316. I heard the voice of God speaks to numbers.
No.
Oh, for a week I was blasting his tunes, songs like Pledge My Allegiance and Jesus Christ is Extraordinary.
Extraordinary, Jesus Christ is extraordinary.
Remember?
Extraordinary, the love of God is extraordinary. Gave his life, paid the price.
Oh, maybe, vaguely familiar. You got so many people like that, though, that you
That's
like.
That's true, yeah.
I mean,
folks who go to twitch.tv/Friday on Fridays, they experience quite a bit of that. Maybe too much sometimes. Goalposts were moved again when Trump canceled his anniversary of January 6th press conference. But of course, Michael wiggled out of that one, said that something big was going to happen. And then when Trump canceled it, plans were set for his group to attend Trump's Phoenix rally on January 15th.
Yeah.
January 7th, Michael makes reference to the pending return of Carolyn Bessett Kennedy on her birthday. Remember, she was the one that also died in that plane crash. So,
But didn't,
of course. A couple days later, rat fucker Roger Stone stopped by for a visit.
He is a rat fucker. You're absolutely right. He's a really horrible, awful,
one of the
no
worst.
Good, very bad human being.
But you guys have a little bit of middle ground, I've found. He said that even though he doesn't believe that JFK is still alive, he questions the details of his assassination, which, of course, makes sense, Kelly, because he's the author of the book The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. Are you familiar with that book?
I am familiar about it. I am familiar with it, rather.
Did you read it?
I mean, I read summaries and sections of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's very aggressive in that belief. But
I mean, I think LBJ was involved. I don't think he was the man, because I think there were a lot of them. Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you know that Al Bielek has thoughts on who killed JFK?
I can't wait to hear it, and I'm sure I have by the time this came out. That's kind of
you.
Fun.
You will. Well, I don't know. We're probably still going by the time this comes out.
Shut up. I hate that. One of the more exciting moments in the last months happened. Buddy, I can't have you scratching that bed right now. Sorry, he's fluffing his bed. He can't be doing
that. He's just trying to get cozy.
Well, take a seat. I bought you a fluffy bed for... All right, took a couple spins and he's sitting down. One of the most...
I love the spins. The spins are my favorite.
Come down for a landing. One of the more exciting moments in the last couple months happened on January 12th as Michael and some of his group left Dallas, headed for the Arizona Trump rally. Macho, macho man. Now, I really like to get into this in detail, but let's just say that he did great. He got along very well with the Watkins family there.
Oh,
all of them were given a hero's welcome at the event, and they even spent some time together. I don't know how much they talked. There's a clip of Ron after the event talking with another believer of, I guess, another follower of -48 about gematria, the numerology Michael makes all his decisions based around, I suppose.
Oh,
but if you want to hear more, Travis View at QAnon Anonymous attended the event, actually, and you can go listen to their episode on it, episode 175. Some really great on the ground reporting by my boys, so go check that out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really incredible. Jim Watkins actually almost fights Travis and calls him a lot of very nasty names. It's pretty intense.
Wow.
But following the now infamous Trump speech, some QAnon believers claimed that it wasn't Trump at all. One Telegram channel had comments like, "Body double for sure. Personally, I think he's insulated." Another said, "When he came out, I instantly felt it was not him. I kept trying to convince myself it was. He was not talking with his hands like he normally does." He didn't pause or inhale a lot. He sounded nervous at the beginning. Side profile looks different. Voice is a little deeper, which is interesting because I believe ahead of that, they said something like Trump had lost 15 pounds due to all the golf that he had been playing. So that...
He never stopped playing golf. That doesn't make him lose weight, obviously.
Well, I mean, they also think he's preparing for announcement of another run.
Of course he is. But I want to cry.
That would explain his less Alfred Hitchcock profile looking body. You know, he still looks like shit, let's be honest.
Absolutely.
A Twitter comment said, "Trump rally watchers, it appears President JFK will be President Trump tonight. I'm just saying, enjoy the show."
Oh my God.
And this would quickly be the accepted belief of the -48 group. In response to a Newsweek article written about the QAnon presence at the rally, a member said, "Hey Newsweek, you so busy talking about us, you failed to mention what else happened on 15 Jan 22. No surprise us Anons have been doing your damn job for a long time for free. The international courts found 75 people and corporations guilty of genocide and various vile crimes against humanity. I really shouldn't be the one to tell the world this, but we long ago realized your what is that word?
Precedents? I've never heard that word.
Don't have a clue how to share news, and I don't have a clue what that word is. Oh, and by the way, JFK was disguised as Trump in Arizona. So Newsweek, go ahead and choose maybe do both. Tell the world Q Patriot knows that was President JFK disguised as Trump in Arizona. And for shits and grins, maybe tell them that anyone that admires the quackazine is guilty of crimes against humanity.
Oh my gosh.
It's hard to see without, you know, taking a picture and studying it and having a close-up picture, but when you have, you know, again, air quotes, Trump, JFK, pull people up on the stage, you know how tall they are. He's not tall enough to be Trump.
Exactly. I noticed that, too. I recorded it, and I have it. So I noticed it.
He did that in Florence also. The exact same thing. Brought somebody up on stage so you could measure how tall he was.
I'm grateful to that President Kennedy has all that stamina at his age. I'm so glad to know that.
So wow. After the successful presence in Arizona, the group headed to Houston ahead of the Houston rally, where it was decided that they would all wear matching red ties, and they did a bit more singing of We Are the World.
We are the children.
Group is a little smaller, but just as enthusiastic as before, which wow. Is saying medium enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
The big day arrived. They danced. They were interviewed by Newsmax. And following the rally, Michael made a statement. It's not that Trump is going to be your president, because right now JFK is your president and his not just your president. The Gematria says he is the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Oh, my. Oh.
Yeah, which again confirms the beliefs that we mentioned in our first discussion. And not too long ago, on February 8th, the group celebrated Michael Brutzman's birthday in a conference room of a hotel.
I can't hear you coming the other day.
With tinfoil hats?
No tinfoil hats. There was a large negative 48 on the wall. Excuse me?
Something happened. It's not recording.
Oh, really?
Like, for real, I'm not joking with you this time.
Well, that's okay. The good thing is that...
Fuck, I'm sorry.
I have your bad audio on this end, so maybe the audio will change quality now.
Yeah, it will be suddenly much better when I chime in now. God, fuck, I checked it already, too.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry.
People just hear you typing on your keyboard since the phone is sitting next to it, and that's okay.
Clickety-clackety, clickety-clack.
It's okay.
Good thing I don't have one of those gaming keyboards. I almost got one of those. That would have been
bad,
huh?
Please don't. So Michael's birthday. His Telegram channel reacted quite positively to this, of course, saying things like, Happy Blessed Born Day, Michael Brian Protzman, 218. May God, and there's going to be a lot of numbers popping into this because of the gematria, of course. May God continue to shower you with his grace, strength, and mercy as you plow on to help us all walk in his undeniable truth. Happy Born Day. 153 equals happy birthday, because of course you add those letters together and it equals 153.
Right, obviously.
Happy birthday, negative. Thank you for all you do. Je vous anniversé. Michael.
French.
Yeah. May you have a fantastic, fun-filled day celebrating famous, fantasting, faithful, fearless, famous you. Woohoo! Many blessings today and always. Much love and big hugs. Happy birthday, positive, which is interesting because he goes by negative 48, which I guess is positive. Happy Born Day to the boss. They're talking about, of course, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, I do like Bruce.
Michael, you have made our lives so much more enriched, special, a reason for some to live.
Yeah, that's the sad statement.
Really,
right there,
really scary.
That one.
So many emojis. Really big fan of emojis. But, you know, before we step back from this story, because we're pretty much caught up, I'd like to return to something that Maureen said. The reasons behind her attending the event that shifted this I shouldn't drink this stuff before. I don't want to drink kombucha right now. I do. I am getting into it this year, though. I took a break for a bit, but I'm back.
It's great.
The reasons behind her attending the event that shifted this situation into gear. Quote, what drew me in more was the opportunity to be with like-minded people, because everybody's story in this movement is that we've lost friends. We've lost family. We've lost credibility. We've been isolated. We've been lonely. And we've been called lots of different names, crazy among them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this opportunity suddenly to gather with like-minded people. And that's what I wanted to do. I really think the worst thing that someone could do for a friend or loved one that has slipped into these misguided and dangerous belief systems, whether it's QAnon, gematria, or removing aluminum from deodorant, is to further shame them and isolate them.
I know. It's just so hard.
Well, you got to do your
best. You're right. You're not wrong.
I'm pushing them away. It's only going to push them towards extremism and false prophets like Michael Protzman. And he, I guess I'll send you a picture real quick, Kelly, of him at the Trump event in Arizona.
Okay.
Because while this guy may look like a silly, doofy dipshit, we do have to remember he's an anti-Semite and has control over hundreds of people, you know, and a handful of them in physical proximity would do anything for him. It sucks.
I mean, can't they get him involuntarily committed? Like, isn't there enough?
I don't know the rules. He's in Texas, which is unfortunate because, you know, a lot of freedom over there. But
and all of your exes are there too.
Some of them. As difficult as it is, if you can try to be an anchor of reality for these people, because you want to give them a safe place to say that they may have been wrong when they start doubting, because the doubts are going to be there. You just need to be there when the doubts are there too. That's our update here.
Wow, so that was longer than double the length of all of mine combined.
I do apologize. Sometimes
no, you don't.
I do. I didn't set out to write 8 pages when I was writing a weird week story, but
well,
here we are.
I mean, you know, spring break. Woo.
Spring break. Wooing on.
Yeah. So if you aren't going to Dallas for spring break, I got a really great place for you to go. It's a little place in Mississippi, Hattiesburg. Hopefully everyone got my reference.
Yes, there absolutely will be a margarita in my mouth. Spring break!
But it is unfortunately not run by Jareth, nor is there a Hoggle. But there is a really mysterious smell. And a couple years ago, it hung around for a long time and then suddenly disappeared. And now it's back. And it's a real problem.
It was certainly worse years ago when the smell used to permeate the area. There was a stink fest here at one time. I don't think it's that bad, but it is noticeable.
Okay.
Mysterious. Cannot find the source of. Smells like ammonia. Or possibly a rotting animal corpse.
I mean, I guess that would make sense because that sort of, it comes off of a decomposing body. It would be ammonia, right?
Yeah, well, I guess so. It's most noticeable in the morning, but sometimes it sets in the evening and doesn't go away either. They keep looking for the cause, just as they did the last time it was here. They didn't find it. It just eventually went away. They've been working with the Mississippi Department of Environmental Quality, police forces involved, trying to find what the hell is going on. Mm-hmm. The mayor is working on doing testing to see if there's something going on with the sewer lagoons. And if they are working properly.
Okay, what? What's a sewer lagoon?
It's a sewer lagoon. I assume it's like a sewage treatment plant, but they just have a lagoon instead.
Okay, yeah, it's just like an open air pond where sewage flows.
Yeah, and so some of the investigative journalism down there said, oh, everything must be fine because there hasn't been a violation at the city's lagoons since 2017. But really, maybe that means that there's some kind of like a nefarious payoff going on.
A greased pocket.
And they aren't being held to regulations. Yeah.
That's not cool. I mean, this does kind of remind me of any time you're at the old Walmart or the Target on North Reserve Street.
Oh, it's so bad up there. It is so bad.
Those locations are wedged between a bacon factory and a sewage treatment plant. And we have big old whiffs of that. And that's gross. Either way.
But here's the thing. That has never smelled to me anything like rotting animal corpses or ammonia.
Well, I mean, it may have at some point. I do jog over the bridge over there.
Why? God, We live in such a beautiful place. What is wrong with you?
Well, I'd like to jog over the bridge, the homeless encampment, unhomed encampment, I guess is the better way to say that.
Yeah.
Over down and there, then they found two bodies of people who are experiencing homelessness.
Yeah.
So it's quite possible we did smell it, just maybe not as strongly as you would think.
Oh. God, I don't think that's it. Also, you need to run somewhere else. The sewage treatment plant and the banking plant and Walmart are not happy places.
Well, I don't want to ever make it over to the Walmart. I whip past the Target. I keep on going. I've stopped running by the pre-release corrections facility.
Why have you stopped doing that?
I didn't love it. The vibe isn't great because all the pre-releasers.
And yet you still feel emboldened enough to yell at the crazy queue-like protesters on the sidewalk when they block your path. They definitely all have guns.
They were anti-vaxxers, and they were standing in my path. It was rude of them.
Yeah, but they have guns.
I mean, I didn't see them. They weren't brandishing guns.
They do. You know they do.
They had flags, I guess. So that's something.
Oh, my Lord.
I just love running, okay?
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. You want me to talk about something else real quick that you might not like?
Really?
I don't know. No. What's the bog smell about? I just want to talk about just a quick story. I found this really interesting. I didn't write anything about this, but this is from The Sun. Chilling texts of Ted Bundy-obsessed teen girl who was 19 who lured date to his death and then vowed to kill a lover every day.
It's a commitment.
Yeah, this is in Germany, and apparently the law there, for some reason, I don't know if it's an age restriction or if this is just how they cover true crime. She could only be identified as Sarah M. Apparently privacy laws, but she stabbed an ex-security guard named Zed E. in the neck after they met on a dating app, which I'm starting to think these dating app things are not great. Really good if you're a killer.
You just got to be cautious, you know?
This woman, she set up a fake dating profile with the name Domina Cherry, which is pretty...
Okay.
But 5 days before the murder, which happened in May of 2021, she bought a camping knife and had been talking with her friend saying that she was gonna do this. She was sending texts. One in particular was, "I'm going out now. I want to kill my first one. I'm excited. Wish me luck that it works."
Wow.
And I did, the working would be the murder part, would be my guess. She stabbed.
Or that the knife works. She wasn't sure it was a functional knife.
I guess. I mean, you could probably test that out on something not human first, but I would recommend not doing that at all, would be my suggestion.
Nope.
Zed was 38 and she was 19. He picked her up. They drove away from her apartment, and as they were driving, she stabbed him in the neck.
Stabby stab.
But he was able to get the knife out of her hand and stop the car on a main road and get out. Unfortunately, he fell into a coma, and he did die after 3 weeks in the hospital. But she was she was arrested in a nearby town, which I don't know how to pronounce, so I typed it into this machine here.
Ooh, let's hear what Lacerda calls it.
Ebermannstadt.
Ooh, pretty good.
The strangest thing about the story, not that she's a fucking crazy person that texts her friend about how she wanted to kill people, she had pictures and posters of Ted Bundy and Richard Ramirez on the walls of her bedroom.
Oh my God, what is wrong with our world?
Pretty
Everything
bad.
Is wrong with
not
our world.
Great. And on her Instagram, she had pictures of Richard Ramirez and talked about this theory that Jack the Ripper was a woman. And that's why she was never caught.
Like, what the fuck?
I mean, it's an interesting theory. We didn't talk about it during our Jack the Ripper series.
Pretty sure we did.
Did we?
Yeah, I think we did.
Been a long time since I've listened to that
it's
one.
Been
that's
a
probably
while.
3 or 4 years ago.
Been a
ago.
Few minutes.
But yeah, in court, of course, unsurprisingly, showed a complete lack of empathy, and she was dressed to the nines. So everyone was pretty grossed out by this. The trial's been going on not too long. We don't know the results of it, but... 19-year-old Sarah M. is a real piece of shit. And along with Toms of Maine products, I would say that posters of serial killers on your walls are probably not great.
I mean, those will be easier for me to stay away from. Yeah. Jesus Christ, are we done with your grim stories yet? I want to do is buy a castle in Scotland.
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, if that's a more fun activity, I suppose. Kelly, do you have anything else to talk about, or are we wrapping up for the day?
I think we're wrapping.
Although this is months in the past, I would say that this has been one hell of a weird week, Kelly.
It has. Folding time, diving through hyperspace tunnels.
Real sorry about the awful people that exist, but yeah, I mean, take a vacation, just like Kelly and I are doing. Maybe to Scotland.
Yeah, vacay. I hope whatever you're doing, it's fun. I hope it was fun on February 16th. I hope it's also fun at the end of March.
Well, I am, you know, not supporting the thing that you've been texting to me calling January 6th too. But, you know, I hope you're having fun.
Wait,
in DC.
What?
That's what you keep referring to it as.
No,
in the
no,
Telegram
I'm
chats.
Not. Uh-uh.
Well, you keep talking about how you're going to really put it to him.
I am going to go to Comet Ping Pong.
That's going to be a delightful visit. And I can't wait for the pictures. We'll definitely put those up in the Twitter at Friday, maybe on Instagram also at Friday. But until then, it's time to get the heck out of here. I've been your anchor, Byron.
Yeah.
Kelly is also here.
I've been here.
Have a weird week.
Have a weird week.
You've been listening to an Audio Wool original, produced by Byron McCoy. Theme music provided by Cemeteries. For more programs like this, visit audiowool.co.